I'm Michael McCusker.
Well, you probably know that this is March, and it is Women's History Month, aside from tomorrow, the first day of Pledge Drive being Pi Day, followed by Caesar Acupuncture Day, followed by St. Urho's Day, and then St. Patrick's Day, a whole group of special days. Einstein was born tomorrow also. But at any rate, for Women's History Month, I'd like to read something that actually took place 23 years ago in 1991. And the title is, I believe, Women Are the Mothers of Earth, and it's by the World Women's Congress for a Healthy Planet. And I published it in my newspaper, well, twice. The year it came out, and then in 2001, and I believe I've read it on the air for Women's History Month at least once in the past decade or so. And a quote by Judy Gran, "I swear to you on my common woman's head, the common woman is as common as a common loaf of bread and will rise." And a little prologue that I wrote. "The major necessity of the 21st century is to complete the social and personal equality of women, which transcends every other pressing equity, because it is the most basic correction for humanity to make, as well as the most potent force to successfully fulfill virtually everything else that needs to be done. Though we are a single species, our genders have separate stories. Fundamentally and literally, one is of life, the other of death. Of persuasion and connection versus force and supremacy. The male gender is out of control. So suffused with dominance and death, it is the greatest danger to the survival of the species and also to life on the planet. The leavening influence of women is most likely the only key to our future on the planet as a world society, and undoubtedly off-planet as well. Women, after all, were the real pioneers of the cultivation of grains and domestication of animals that produced civilization in the first place. 23 years ago, in the spring of 1991, more than 1,500 women from virtually everywhere on Earth attended the World Women's Congress for a Healthy Planet in Florida, USA. These women, who call themselves a privileged few, were at the conference, quote, on the behalf of those who could not be with us, the millions of women who experience daily the violence of poverty, environmental degradation, and exploitation of their work and bodies due to an international economic order that places capital before human and ecological well-being. For 4 days, they listen to each other speak of the ills of our societies, our families, and our sacred nature. We have been inspired by the courage and commitment of our sisters throughout the world who protect and repair our natural heritage." They concluded that, "In a world in which nature and women are systematically exploited by a so-called free market ideology, there can be no environmental security." They wrote in a collective declaration that rainforest dwellers, island peoples, the inhabitants of fragile arid or Arctic zones in particular, quote, "are threatened with displacement and dispossession due to human disruption and pollution of vulnerable ecosystems." And they urged the UN, the United Nations, and world leaders, mostly male, to increase their commitment to integrating women's perspectives at all levels and in all programs and policies. These privileged few women from all nations issued the following recommendations as a basic guide to enhance environmental quality as well as human equality for the 21st century, which they hoped would be a challenge to create a safe and sustainable future. So, Women Are the Mothers of Earth, by the World Women's Congress for a Healthy Planet. "We believe that a healthy and sustainable environment is contingent upon respect for human rights, participatory democracy, self-determination of peoples, respect for indigenous peoples and their lands, cultures, traditions, and the protection of all species. We believe that basic human rights include access to clean air and water, food, shelter, health, and well-being. These rights are currently denied to millions of people, the overwhelming majority of whom are women. We are deeply troubled by the increasing inequities in the quality of life of those living in the industrialized nations and those of the so-called developing nations. We are outraged by the disparity between our children's nutrition, well-being, education, and opportunities for a full and productive life. We condemn the racism and disrespect of diversity on which this inequity feeds. We equate lack of political and individual will among world leaders, the great majority of whom are men, with a lack of basic morality and spiritual values and an absence of responsibility towards future generations. Based on economic growth, and that's a quote, and ludicrous investments in weaponry, the current development model has wrought human and environmental degradation and destruction. Unbridled consumerism of the industrial nations leads to unjust exploitation of the human and natural resources of poor nations, which results in co-opting governments and the political process for the benefit of the few. We come together to pledge our commitment to the empowerment of women, the central and powerful force in the search for equity between and among the peoples of the earth, and for a balance between them and the life support systems which sustain us all. We appeal to all women and men to join in this call for profound and immediate and transformation, for profound and immediate transformation in human values and activities. Recognizing that nature is not limited by national sovereignty or boundaries and that environmental degradation is global. Observing the worldwide social and environmental consequences of development based solely on economic growth measurements. Recognizing the creative diversity of our culture, class, race, and the ecosystems and political structures within which we live. Believing that the world's indigenous peoples have long been denied basic human rights or acknowledgement of their contributions to world culture. And recognizing the interconnectedness of women, the environment, economic policies, development strategies, social justice, and the survival of all species, we will demand full and equal participation for women and men in public policy analyses, government decision-making, implementation, administration, and funding at international and community levels. We urge each other to seek to achieve a critical mass in government and non-governmental policy, making leadership positions, adopting the 60-40 formula, no more than 60% or no less than 40% of either sex, as a guide to our empowerment. We demand that all governments comply with the requirements of the Nairobi Forward-Looking Strategies and the United Nations Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. In full knowledge that the industrialized nations have been the net beneficiaries of exploitation of the rich resources of the South, observing the disastrous social, environmental, and economic consequences of international lending practices and current terms of trade between industrialized and non-industrialized nations, and concerned about the negative impact on the poor, especially women, of the International Monetary Fund and World Bank structural adjustment policies, ashamed by the flow of capital from poor nations to the banking system of rich nations, and recognizing the grievous consequences of this practice for poor families in the South and for the natural resources upon which we all depend, we demand immediate official debt forgiveness. We will work for cancelization of commercial debt via mechanisms equivalent to corporate bankruptcy law. We will cease to do business with banks that refuse to reschedule debt repayments of nations to the South. We will oppose those debt for nature exchanges, swaps, which threaten sovereignty, indigenous peoples' rights to lands and self-determination, and which are not subject to wide public debate. We will hold personally accountable those who borrow in the name of their people for the social and environmental consequences of those loans. We call for the rejection of structural adjustment policies, SAPs, which shift responsibility of basic social services from governments to women without compensation or assistance. We call for the dismantling of all unfair protective trade measures used by the North against the South. We call for renegotiation of terms of trade that will ensure an equitable relationship between the price of raw materials and prices of manufactured goods. We demand a total ban on the export of goods rejected for local consumption or destruction in or by the country of origin. We suggest that historic audits of nation states from 1945 onward be conducted to determine the net beneficiaries of natural resource exploitation, an assessment which would serve as the basis to cancel current debt. recognizing the current moral and ethical double standards applied to environment, development, women's participation, and social justice throughout the world, and distressed that policy planners and political representatives have such barren instruments, systems of national accounts, on which to make all major economic and environmental decisions, we will work for the adoption of an international code of environmental conduct for business and industry, for governments, for UN agencies, and for non-governmental organizations, which will include regulations on biotechnical genetic engineering. We will organize monitoring systems that will hold institutions and states accountable for their actions, products, and policies. We call for a reappraisal of national income accounts to reflect the balance between constructive and destructive production. We totally oppose environmental accounting and the commodification of free gifts of nature. And that's a quote. We demand time use studies of women's work, household, cottage industries, subsistence agriculture, child care, elder care, volunteer community service. We require governments, World Bank, International Monetary Fund, the IMF, and lending agencies to establish environmental audits with which every proposal must comply before implementation of loans. We will endorse new proposals of international law, including strict liability for environmental harms and non-adversarial dispute resolution mechanisms to compensate victims. Aware that the gross inequities in land tenure and ownership are primary causes of social injustice, poverty of women and their children, homelessness and environmental degradation, and the dispossession of indigenous people, aware that land ownership and control is becoming increasingly polarized, recognizing that current agricultural policies in the North and in the South are uprooting and displacing land-based communities and are diverting land from food production to cash crops for exports, and recognizing that in many communities the nutrition of the family is dependent upon women's ability to produce a family and domestic market food products, and that because women and children are an estimated 1 billion people in the world who go hungry every day, women's access to food and land tenure and ownership must be regarded as a basic human right. We will call on the UN governments and non-governmental organizations to cease discriminating practices which limit women's access to land and other resources, to increase allocation of resources which enhance food security and provide appropriate technologies which reduce women's work. We will strive to create awareness about the environmental impact of land use technologies guided by immediate profit at the cost of long-term sustainability and productivity. We will search for ways to strengthen agricultural research of indigenous foods and conservation of local crop varieties. Concerned by the deterioration of habitats and ecosystems that are home to billions of species with which we share the earth, and realizing the tragic loss of species upon which our interdependent ecosystem depends, recognizing the treasure of plant and animal knowledge which is tended and passed on by the indigenous peoples of the world, knowing the attempt of commercial interest of the North to control the natural heritage of the species of the South through gene banks, aware that genetically engineered organisms released into the environment pose a threat to biodiversity, we call for immediate and direct regulation of research and development in biotechnology. We recommend that the testing and release of organisms be done only in the country of origin, and that biotechnology products which are not yet approved or which are restricted in their country of origin be prohibited from sale elsewhere. We recommend that there be no patenting of life forms to protect against the commercial exploitation of the genetic resources of the South. We will work for a ban on bovine growth hormone and a boycott of milk products with that hormone. We recommend that new technologies be approved not only on the basis of efficacy and safety, but also their social and economic impacts. We demand that the risks of biotechnology be widely available in clear, layperson's language. We will support indigenous people in their efforts to protect their natural environment. Believing it is a basic human right to have access to unbiased information about the quality of the environment in which we live, and recognizing the risk that the media may become dominated by forces which perpetuate a worldview that ignores cultural diversity and integrity, believing that only through wide dissemination of information on environmental and developmental issues will we be able to confront the challenges of environmental decline, Aware that information concerning the environmental and health impact of military and industrial byproducts are often classified as secret for national security or proprietary reasons, we demand that the UN monitor all activities of governments that threaten the environment, including space and ocean probing, and make information about such activities known to the world community. We will work to create and strengthen formal and informal information systems and exchanges that adhere to the principles of openness and inclusiveness, giving voice to the majority of citizens and reporting on violations of human and environmental rights. We recommend that all countries offer environmental education at the primary and secondary levels, including ecology, consumer education, and permaculture. We will promote environmental ethics education in our schools and in informal learning settings with the purpose of promoting harmony between all living systems and solidarity among peoples. We will strongly support the establishment of a non-governmental organization whose mandate and operation on environmental emergencies and environmental rights would be similar to those of Amnesty International. Knowing that military expenditures, the arms trade, and armed conflict deprive billions of human beings of basic security and well-being, and realizing the disastrous environmental impact of all military activity, including research, development, production of weaponry, testing, maneuvers, presence of military bases, disposal of toxic materials, transport, and resource use. Aware that research on and use of military weaponry, including chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons, contributes significantly to environmental degradation, genetic mutation, illness, and death. Recognizing that militarism often leads to the occupation of lands and the denial of human and environmental rights. We demand nuclear weapons be dismantled and destroyed, and that nuclear testing cease immediately. We demand that space activities and supersonic flight, which threatens the ozone layer and releases carbon dioxide, cease. We urge an immediate 50% of reduction in military spending. We demand creation of national civilian commissions with 50% membership of women, which would open to public scrutiny all military activities, expenditures, and research and development. We demand that national armies be converted into environmental protection corps, which would monitor and repair damage to natural systems, including cleanup of military bases, and be available to assist citizens in times of natural and man-made disasters. We condemn governments that turn their armies against their citizens, leading millions of individuals to become refugees and displaced persons. We will educate our daughters and sons to shun military service of governments which use military power to exploit the resources and people of other nations. Believing that science and technology should be at the service of the many rather than for the profit of the few, and observing that, on the contrary, it is used to harness, and that's a quote, nature, contributing to the degradation of ecosystems for short-term profit, witnessing the disempowerment of women through lack of access to appropriate and sustainable technology, and the disregard for women's experiential knowledge because it is not considered scientific, once again a quote, aware that all too often women have been the victims of the misuse of scientific discoveries and inappropriate technologies, we urge the marriage of ethical values with scientific investigation and use, and the development of criteria for all technologies concerning their appropriateness for both women and the environment. We demand that all technology transfers should be appropriate and sustainable, with special attention paid to long-term costs and benefits for people and the environment. We will urge support and promote communication strategies for disseminating information on appropriate and inappropriate technologies to women worldwide. We demand resources be made available for research and development of appropriate technologies and training for women. We urge the United Nations and governments to create rural and urban training centers of excellence, north and south, which will serve to disseminate environmentally friendly technologies to women. Realizing that women's purchasing power is a powerful tool for holding the business community accountable for the environmentally friendly quality of their products, and knowing that women can organize swiftly to boycott products or businesses, we will boycott industries whose practices or products anywhere in the world are harmful to the environment or to health. We will promote recycling, reduce consumption of all forms, and purchase only ecologically friendly products. We will engage in campaigns supporting investment in environmentally sound and productive activities. We will reduce per capita energy use by promoting energy-efficient technologies and research, development, and funding of alternative energy sources. Realizing that there may be an attempt to create new institutions to manage the world's ecosystems based on the current economic growth model, and believing that those institutions might not have as primary objective the long-term sustainability of the Earth's species and ecosystems, knowing that new institutions would be costly and that funds would be better spent in repairing damaged ecosystems and providing sustenance to those who live in them, we call for the creation of a permanent United Nations Environmental Commission to serve as ombudsperson, receive individual complaints, monitor compliance, and enforce principles of an international code of environmental ethics. We urge that all states and corporations that produce toxic chemical agents be required to dispose of their toxic waste within their own borders. We know that the major causes of environmental degradation are economic systems that exploit and misuse nature and people, pollutants, and the waste of industrial and military technologies. We are outraged by the suggestion that women's fertility rates, euphemistically called population pressures, are to blame. Unchallenged, this analysis lays groundwork for the reemergence of top-down, demographically driven population policies and programs that are deeply disrespectful of the basic human rights of women as guaranteed in the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. Also, knowing the number of people plus their consumption of resources plus their waste determines their environmental impact, we recognize that a person in the industrialized world has far greater impact than a person living in a less wealthy nation. Aware that the right to reproductive health and choice is a basic human right of all individuals, we point out that the World Fertility Survey estimates that there are 500 million couples who wish to plan their family and have no access to the means to do so. Fearful of the threat to women's lives by the HIV pandemic and recognizing that women's ability to protect themselves from sexually transmitted diseases and when and if to have children is prerequisite for women's health, self-determination, and empowerment, we condemn any attempt to deprive women of reproductive freedom or the knowledge to exercise that freedom. We demand women-centered, women-managed, comprehensive, reproductive, health care, and family planning, including the right to prenatal care, safe and legal voluntary contraceptives, and abortion. We urge governments, multilateral and donor agencies, to increase investments in comprehensive reproductive health services and to include men as beneficiaries of family planning and education. We demand that all governments systematically alert their citizens to the danger of AIDS and provide them with the information on how to avoid contamination. Realizing that women and children are particularly vulnerable to cancer-causing toxic chemicals, radiation, and nuclear wastes, we demand that research be undertaken on women's and children's susceptibility to cancer-causing agents and that remedial action be taken to eliminate such agents from all environments. We ask the World Health Organization, International Labor Organization, the Food and Agricultural Organization, national governments, public health groups, and corporations increase efforts to eliminate environmental occupational hazards in factories, offices, and on the land. And that, aside from knocking this microphone around a few times, was a report by the World Women's Congress for a Healthy Planet, which took place in the spring of 1991, 23 years ago. And the report was titled, Women Are the Mothers of Earth. And I published it in the North Coast Times Eagle in 1991, March or April issue, and also the one I'm reading from now, the Marpril 2001 issue. And I'd like to read a couple of poems, if you don't mind. One is by Lloyd Marbett, my old friend, who, if anybody can be claimed to have shut down Hanford, it was him, although he was thrown in jail and pilloried relentlessly for his stance against Trojan. It's called Sunflowers at Hanford. Wisdom in planting these seeds, greatness of smallness encoded, seed corn of new generations, sunflowered birth of the mystery, renewing each death into life. Hearts in the planting of flesh, caressing its emissions of wonder, cells newly split for unraveling in a landscape of poisonous pitfalls. Transgressions becoming redressed, messages tilled into soil, hope in the covering of prayers, gentleness of spiritual seeking, closing these wounds of our war. Recast these wastes of destruction, transform this nightmare of horror mixed in the fabric of being, reclaimed by our ancestors' ghosts, freed from the shackles of fear. Praying this message be found, from which we can cure ourselves. And of course, we know what Hanford has been doing lately. One of our senators had somewhat the same, not as poetic, concept of what Hanford is doing. Now, plugging leaks, radioactive leaks into the river, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The River at Dusk by Jim Dott. The short day passes like water through fingers, and now at slack tide the river is flat, gray between the dark fir hills. The last squall has blown up far upriver, soaked into the rising night. All the ships have weighed anchor and gone out across the bar. All the gulls are roosting on rain-black pilings. All the cormorants are trying to dry their wings one last time before dark. And now the incoming fog engulfs the empty bridge, bellies down, snuffing out the lights of town. No hiss of traffic, no human voice, only the muffled river whispering around pilings, softly slapping at the shore. It is too cold for baptism, too swift for swimming. But whether you're washed in worry or your mind eddies in a pool of the past, drink it in. Immerse in its enduring birth. It will not let you drown. Drink it in. Don't resist its relentless coming. Let it float you and flow on. Drink it in without ceasing. On the far bank of night is dawn. And that was Jim Dott. And one by my old friend, Eddie Edmo, Indian Education Blues. I sit in your crowded classrooms and learn to read about Dick, Jane, and Spot. But I remember how to get a deer. I remember how to beadwork. I remember how to fish. I remember the stories told by the old. But Spot keeps showing up, and my report card is bad. And that was Eddie Edmo, whom I've known just about as long as I've known Lloyd Marbett, more than 40 years. And I've known Jim Dott for nearly as long. And all of these poems I just read were out of the Marpril 2001 North Coast Times Eagle, from which I read the early report. From the, pardon me while I shuffle through crinkling paper, which is one of my two favorite sounds, the popping of a cork out of a wine bottle being the other. And what I have read to you today, aside from these poems I just did, are Women Are the Mothers of Earth by the World Women's Congress for a Healthy Planet, which put up this resolution, you might say, 23 years ago, 1991. And this has been Michael McCusker. I suppose I'll be along next Thursday if certain mortal accidents don't occur, such as the plethora of drones that we are being threatened with, both militarily and product carrying. You've been listening to A Story Told. I'm Michael McCusker.